Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday. What the hell is it? October 12th, 2015. What's going on? How are you? I'm recording this Sunday, because as you're listening to this, unless I post it tonight, or who's kidding who, my podcast guy posted, because I don't know how to do it. I got some acting work Monday and Tuesday. So as always, I never tell you what the hell I'm doing, because, you know, you can get edited out. And then you look like an asshole. Like you say, hey, everybody, look for me. I'll be that guy in that thing. And then all of a sudden you're not in it. And then everybody goes, hey, I thought you were going to be in that. You know, laughing my ass off, epic fail actor, balding, redheaded cunt. You know, I got to deal with that all day. So I usually don't say anything, but I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's funny shit. And so that's what I got to do over the next couple of days. But so it's football Sunday. I'm recording this right as the Patriots and Cowboys game just ended. I'm not going to gloat. I know that was a banged up Cowboys. Damn it, come on. I think the last play of the game when you guys, your receiver beat our cornerback and the ball still sailed like 8 feet over his fucking head. I felt bad for that. Was it number 83? I don't know who he is, so I know he needs those stats. They all need the stats. That's how they make their money. You know, the end of the season when their sports agent comes in. Hey, I mean, the guy, I mean, not for nothing. The guy, he had fucking 17 touchdowns. So after 16, that means he fucking makes an extra $400,000. So if this guy comes up one short, you think he's not going to be thinking about that? You know, when they have the Cowboys Christmas party and they don't make the playoffs, you don't think 83 is going to be staring at that fucking... that radio contest winner that they had at quarterback. I shouldn't talk shit about him. You know, I don't know anything about him either. But that play really made me laugh because after the ball goes over 83's head, I think that's his number, right? You see him yelling at the corner, and the corner's kind of laughing back at him. And you know he was going like, I fucking beat you again. I should have had fucking 150 yards on you if this guy could fucking throw it to me. And the other guy doesn't give a shit because he knows in the end, right? It's just going to show up on the stat sheet. Who gives a shit? So, anyways. So, you know, I felt bad for the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Snake bitten. They're just fucking snake bitten. They look like they were going to be good. Tony Romo gets hurt. All that bullshit, you know? But I do think on one level it was justice by the football gods that the Patriots, who some people were suggesting, you know, if the Brady suspension went through, could have been 0-4, 1-3, 2-2. That we're actually 4-0. I think that means the football gods know that Tom Brady did not cheat. Okay? Oh, you guys can fucking roll your eyes and shake your heads all you want. You know what the greatest thing about it is I can't hear you right now. You ever think about that? I can't hear you, but you can hear me. So you have to listen to this shit. All right? You don't have to, but I know if you're listening to this shit right now, you're probably doing something you don't want to be doing, and you need to be distracted. So all you can do is sit there and hope that maybe it's going to get better. Or you could fast forward through it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to talk about this for another couple, 2 or 3 minutes. So you might want to jump ahead. You know? If you're a fucking... with a big crybaby. If you're a Colts fan, you know? It sucks that Andrew Luck is hurt, man. I want to go in there, and I want the Patriots. Like I just said, I want to go in there. Ah, fuck, somebody's at the door. Hold on a second. Hold on. Hang on. All right, I'm back. Cleo, get over there and lay down. This is what happens when you got a crazy pit bull. You got to make sure you... Wait. You got to close all the fucking doors so you don't eat anybody. Lay down, buddy. All right. Sorry. I'm back. Dog's crazy, man. Dog is awesome. But she's only awesome to like 7 people and everybody else... Look at her right now. She's sitting in her bed with her ears up. You know what I mean? Listening intently. Totally locked in that terrier gene. Cleo. Still not looking. Let's see how loud I have to say her name. Cleo. There we go. Relax. Stand down. Anyways. Like I always said, I want to go in there. I want to go into Indianapolis, and I want to sit there and eat a fucking sausage king because I watch athletes play at a professional level. No, I was saying I wanted to see the Patriots, you know, go in and play the Colts at full fucking strength. If we go in next week, Okay, and if we win, God willing, you know, Andrew Luck's not 100%, so I'm not going to gloat about that one. I hate when fucking people do that shit. You know what I mean? So, but what a week of the NFL. There were so many games, those 1 o'clock games that I just thought were over. You know, all right, Browns are getting their ass kicked. Seattle's killing fucking Cincinnati. There was one other one in there. Cincinnati came back. The Browns came back. Who else came back? There was like three fucking games in the beginning. Ah, Christ, I can't. Oh, the Bills. The Bills ended up coming back, too. I was watching that game. You know, Titans are young. They don't know how to close out a team yet. But I'm always watching Rex Ryan, man. I like the way that guy coaches. And it's funny to see him lose. Nobody takes off a fucking headset when he loses like him. He's always good for a couple of curses. Fucking shit. He tears the fucking thing off. But, yeah, so anyways, I actually totally got off track. So I was talking about, like, I literally think that... not to make excuses for how dumb I am, but I really think there's something wrong with the way my brain is wired. The way when I visually look at something and try and process it. And this fucking flyer, it didn't have, you know, the thing was, the show was down at the Shrine Auditorium or something like that, which I found out Led Zeppelin actually played at. I was not in that theater, obviously. I was in basically the hallway area that led to the arena, that the theater, I should say, that that Zeppelin played in. And anyways, but I noticed the flyer, it completely fucked me up. Because there was shows from basically like 3 in the afternoon to 12 midnight. So when they listed the shows, for some reason they started at 12 midnight. And they went backwards. And then the block that I was in was basically Largo Comics with Veruca Salt's band. It was actually the band that you got to play with, which is fucking awesome, right? And just the way they had it, like, instead of going down, you know, I can't even explain it. I mean, wouldn't you go fucking like 5, 6, 7, 8? You wouldn't go 12, 11, right? But if I had any sort of like learning, like visual ability, I would have just looked at it. Like I just look at something like that and I just go like, when I see all of that shit, it just, my brain just goes like, ah, I can't even fucking see it. Totally turns my brain to mush. And all I saw was Largo. So my dumbass drives to Largo. Now, obviously, most of you don't live out here. So Largo is basically... without traffic, is about 20, 25 minutes away from the Shrine Auditorium. So there's always traffic here. So it was a colossal fuck up on my part. And of course, I didn't bring I had the parking passes and the wristband. I had all of that laid out, ready to go. And my brain kept saying for days and days and days, going, make sure you have that. Make sure you have that. And as I was getting ready to leave, I saw it on the desk. I'm like, oh, yeah, that thing. And then I fucking go to get my keys, and then I walk out the door without the parking pass, without the wristband, driving to Largo, the exact opposite direction when I'm supposed to go to the other fucking place. It was an absolute shit show. And I really, on the way over, I can't bring myself to say it, because I've always said that it's just an excuse. But I would just say there's something fucked up with the way my brain is wired. Because my whole life, it's just like, I don't think I'm dumb, but I continue to do dumb shit. So the end of the day, right, it's the results. That's like, say I'm a good quarterback, but I keep losing the game, right? So at the end of the day, yeah, you suck as a quarterback. So I would love to hear, you know, considering I'm not a doctor, obviously, I'd like to hear your guys' analysis. Because that's what this whole fucking internet thing is about. The internet is about people who have absolutely zero qualification just chiming in with their opinion. Just going on and fuck. That's what this podcast is. I haven't looked up any of that. I don't fucking know anything, right? So anyway, so I drive over to the venue. And it's a fucking gigantic place. It's one of those places when they bring you into it, you don't even know what it looks like. It's so fucking big. I came in from like the parking structure, and I get in, and I'm walking by, and there's the open area that I'm going to be on, that stage, and then I walk by, and then I go by the theater that evidently Led Zeppelin played at, and Reggie Watts is on stage, of course, crushing it. I went upstairs. I met the people in the band, and then they basically just fucking ran through If You Want Blood, and I sat there air drumming, and that's one of those songs that fades out, so the big thing was like, all right, how the fuck are we going to end this song? And they were like, all right, let's do it. So then when I came back downstairs, I'm walking by that. It was this weird thing where you walked behind the theater where the guy was on stage. I can't even explain it. I can't even explain it. So this time when I go down, Reggie is finishing up. I walk in, go out into this hall fucking area, and then we're in the basically the giant open area that looks, it looks like a giant mall after the apocalypse. There was an upper deck, but there was no stores, and it wasn't really well lit. And so anyways, the show starts. Greg Barron kills. Tig Notaro's killing. So I'm thinking everybody's killing. I got to get my shit together. So when I walked into the other area to get my head together, I looked, and Super Dave Osborne was on stage where Reggie was just on stage. And for guys my age and older, you remember him from that show Bizarre. And I'm definitely going to, I got to put up some clips. Hopefully I'll fucking remember. I always say, oh yeah, I'm going to put up some clips. And then I talk for another 50 minutes and I forget it. But he was on stage, and I would have loved to have met that guy. That guy used to fucking kill me when I was a kid. And but anyways, Jesus, Bill, get to the fucking point here. So I go on stage, I do my thing, and tell my jokes or whatever, and now I'm going to go back and go play the fucking drums. You know, when you sit down on somebody else's kit, it's like driving somebody else's car. The chair's either too fucking close to the steering wheel or not, the hi-hat and all that stuff. So I sit down, we start fucking playing. I fuck it up from the very beginning. Not in a bad way. I'm just not playing it the way it is on the album. And I can see the guitar player looking at me like, dude, what the fuck? You didn't do that upstairs. So I continue doing the same mistake, but on time. So, you know, nobody fucking notices, but he's looking at me like, wow, is this going to be a train wreck? Or at least I felt he was. It's probably my own insecurity. And then we start to play and I can't hear anything. I couldn't even hear the bass drum. And it was like, wow, this is, I didn't realize that musicians have to deal with this shit. So it was kind of cool. So I'm literally can almost hear one of the guitarists, and I'm watching his foot, and I just started humming the song in my head. I'm just doing that. It's criminal living in a human zoo. And I'm just back there humming this fucking song. But it was great. They kept turning around looking at me when we were going into the verse. So it ended up going great. But the highlight of it, other than getting to play with Veruca Salt, which is the fucking shit, they totally rocked the whole fucking night, right? I was, at one point, I looked up at the crowd, because that was one of my goals. Just like with stand-up, like I had to be like, I'm taking the mic out of the mic stand. I'm baby-stepping this thing with every once in a while playing out, playing drums, right? I actually was trying to look up at the crowd more. So at one point, I'm looking up to the crowd as I'm humming the song, because I can barely hear people. I saw this woman in the crowd, and she was standing there. She wasn't moving at all, wasn't tapping her toes, wasn't fucking nodding her head, nothing. And she had this blank stare, but she wasn't looking at anybody. She was just sort of daydreaming, standing right in the front. She was like the poster child for like being completely disconnected to anything that was going on stage. And when I saw her, the old me, that would have crushed me, because I was so self-conscious about my playing. But when I saw her, I actually looked down. I just looked down and I started laughing. And I didn't think about it until I was driving away, when I was critiquing the shit out of everything I did. I was actually driving away, and I took that. That was my victory on that one, was that she clearly was not into it. And it didn't rattle me. It actually made me laugh. And I was able to find the humor in that. And I was talking to another comic about it. And I feel like that's the difference between a performer that stays doing it and somebody who just after a while just quits. I'm not saying one person is better than another, but in order to fucking do any sort of performing, you have to find the humor in bombing or you're fucked.
You have to be able to look at somebody as you're trying your fucking hardest, and they're just sitting there like, I mean, dude, she was thinking about next Wednesday or some shit or something from her childhood. Like, she was that far into daydreaming. It was fucking brutal. And you got to be able to look at that and just be like, what I'm doing right now made her do that. You know? Like, that's how bad I am right now. So, whatever. I was able to shake it off. You know, it's hopefully the Cowboys will be able to shake off today's loss. Right? There, did I bring it back? Speaking of losing, my Boston Bruins, my beloved. Here we go, Bruins. Here we go. They're 0-2. Now, we got shellacked by Winnipeg. We played good for a period and a half, you know? But then again, you know, the game is three periods. But whatever. It's a brand new fucking team. We got rid of everybody. They got to figure out how they're going to gel, right? So I'm not freaking out yet. And I don't have any, you know, ridiculous expectations, especially of our coach, Claude Julien. And I already heard one guy go after we lost to Montreal. He goes, you know, they is it time to shorten up the leash on Claude Julien? It's like, why would you do that? Does he suddenly not know, understand the game of hockey? Why would you blame the fact that they're 0-2 on him? This guy coached the team when he had the players to winning a fucking Stanley Cup. That was only 4 years ago. It's not like it was 40 years ago. The game hasn't passed the dude by. Okay. In that time, we lost Tyler Seguin, Johnny Boychuk, Dougie Hamilton, and Lucic, the face of our franchise. It's a whole new fucking team. When he had those guys, most of those guys, I don't think Dougie was on the 2011 team yet. I can't remember. He won a cup. So I don't think, you know, if you're going to bitch when they're trying to redo the whole fucking team after two losses, if you got to bitch about anybody, you got to bitch about our new GM, Don Sweeney. That's the guy who should be taking the heat, not the fucking coach. You know who would say shit like that? Dan Shaughnessy. Dan Shaughnessy would say shit like that because the man doesn't watch hockey. So anyways, I actually saw a lot of positives in the yet another loss to the Canadiens, the hated Canadiens. So many new players. I mean, I didn't get to watch the Winnipeg game, but Joe Bartnick from Puck Off podcast told me that Winnipeg is a force and that there's no fucking shame in losing to them. And, you know, they're loaded, which is fucking annoying to me. It's like, well, how are they loaded? How are they under the salary cap and they're fucking loaded? I don't understand. What, do they have more money than us? They're in fucking Winnipeg. I've been to Winnipeg. All right? I don't know what the fuck you do out there, but somehow they got more money than us. Why? Because they're always digging a new fucking canal for a mall because it's too cold to be outside? Maybe is that what it is? I don't fucking know. But anyways, I saw some positive shit. Jesus Christ, we had like seven penalties. And to all you Canadian fans out there, I'll admit we were guilty of all of them. I didn't have a problem with any of the calls, even the five-minute one that Spooner took, right? That gave him the game misconduct. I didn't have a problem with any of those. Carey Price looked fucking great. But, you know, other than the first penalty kill, which we looked like a beer league team, you know, we killed off all those, including a five-minute major. At one point, we were when what's-his-face? Good Lord, Bill. What is wrong with your brain right now? Brad Marchand. Jesus Christ. He took a penalty. We actually had a 5-on-3. They had a 5-on-3 for a minute. We still killed that. We had a goal called back. I didn't have a problem with that either. We were literally laying on the dude's mask. But, I don't know. I didn't think we were bad. We were competitive. I'll give us that. So, I'm sticking it out. I'm watching every game. We got Tampa Bay next. We'll probably lose to that one. You know, I don't know. As Bartnick told me, we got to beat the bad teams and fucking hang in there. And who knows? We've gotten rid of everybody. I got to think that we have some salary cap money left over that maybe we can pick somebody up or something. I don't fucking know. I don't know what they're doing, but don't blame the fucking coach for the love of God. We don't even have Chara. Chara's out right now. But I like that number 39 kid that we got from the Ducks. That, how do you say his name? Matt Bolesky or whatever. He looks good. Pasternak is going to be great. I think we got some shit. Got some shit, right? Krejci's healthy. Gray G, Patrice Bergeron, you know? I think we'll be okay. Whatever. I'm not going to be one of those guys that fucking bitch moans and complains, all right? We did fine. Did fine those first two games. I'm still going to watch them. You know, if they keep playing the way that they're playing, I'm all right with it. I can handle that. As long as whatever Don Sweeney's doing is leading towards the light, you know? Actually, Marshawn took a fucking elbow to the head at the end of the game. I think he's got a concussion. That's brutal. One of our best fucking guys, right? And I don't think it was deliberate. You never know. But I just think the guy was so much taller than him. He was just trying to do the contact thing. You see this, people? This is like actually seeing both sides of it. I did that with the Patriots. I'm doing it with the Bruins, right? I am being a model sports fan right now. You like that? You probably don't, because it's probably not as funny. You really want me to fucking go off on some shit. Is that what you want? I'll tell you what I'm going to go off on. Like, I actually, I felt bad for McDonald's, you know? First of all, this whole excitement that they're trying to create about the fact that they're serving breakfast all day. I mean, I might be out of the loop, you know, I'm an older fella, but nobody I know has ever bitched that McDonald's doesn't serve breakfast all day. They might bitch, you know, when you show up at 10:31, are you still serving breakfast? No, I'm sorry, you know, and you got a hangover and you just want one of their fucking sausage, egg and cheese. And now you got to get like a quarter pounder, you know, something about the eggs, you know, I got to eat some eggs in there, a little bit of biscuit, right? I can see that. And I can see them, hey, from now on, we're going to be serving breakfast until 11 a.m. That would have been fine. But to watch these guys just cave in to their fan base and just say, you know what? Okay, you know what, you guys? You win. You win. You can have breakfast all day long. To watch them do that, it's like watching a great artist just completely sell out, right? And just start, you know, making songs that really meant something and connected with you to just do it. Remember that time when Bryan Adams put on the eyeliner and spiked up his fucking hair? It's just like, how did the summer of 69 guy go from this to that? What happened? That's what McDonald's is doing right now. They got their eyeliner on. They got their fucking hair all spiked up. They might as well, it just, you know, when they announced that they fucking going to do breakfast all day, they might as well have had Ronald McDonald behind two turntables pretending to be like a DJ. You know, have a little self-esteem, McDonald's. Don't fucking give in to these fucking animals. Fuck them. If you can't roll your fat ass out of bed by 10 or 10:30, you're getting a burger. All right? Fuck you. I'm going to make eggs for your all goddamn day. I'm not. Fucking burger's like 99 cents. What more could we be doing for you? What more could we be doing for you? See that? That's that fucking hiccup in my brain. I think it's a bad move. You don't see Wendy's doing that. Wendy's doesn't even serve breakfast. They're like, fuck you, we make hamburgers. And you know what? They're square. Deal with it. Right? McDonald's, you're the dealer. You're the pusher. Okay? You let the junkies come to you. You don't start slashing prices. Okay? I understand. Okay? You're fucking billions and billions of served. The formula fucking works. What are they so afraid of? Because I'll tell you right now, you know what sucks? Denny's. Let's just talk breakfast food right here, you know? Denny's fucking blows. I don't know what it is about them. They are like IHOP is like the IROC Z, and Denny's is just the regular, you got a Camaro, but it's got a V6 in it. I don't know why. They serve the exact same, they almost have the same menu. They just call it different shit, right? It's like McDonald's and McDowell's, right? But there's something about IHOP, you know, their pancakes, they're more fluffier. Bacon's a little more crispier. I like their toast better. You know, eggs are eggs, whatever. You know, don't ever order scrambled eggs. If you want scrambled eggs, you make them yourself. Okay? Nobody knows how to make fucking scrambled eggs. Nobody knows how to make oatmeal. They know how to make oatmeal, but they made it like 9 hours ago and they just stick it in a giant vat. I'll give you guys a great tip on fucking when you make scrambled eggs. All right? When you scramble them, you got to scramble the shit out of them. All right? When I scramble eggs, all right, put two or three in the bowl. Okay? It's like a cooking show. Except you listen to it, right? You fucking... you know how the hell I even got on the subject. How the fuck does this happen? I'm telling you guys how to scramble eggs. Do you realize how insulted you should be right now? This is like something you'd tell a 5-year-old. But this is a little secret that I made scrambled eggs forever. And you know what? They tasted like the scrambled eggs at Denny's, and I was proud. I was like, these are just like the ones at Denny's, but I didn't realize that Denny's absolutely sucked. Right?
So, I'm just loving all the tweets I'm going to get, because you know there's people out there that love Denny's and thinks IHOP stinks.
I will tell you this. Denny's table's not as sticky. IHOP has cornered the fucking market. I mean, dude, you put your elbow on that table. If you leave it there for more than 3 seconds, I mean, somebody's got to get a putty knife or you're not getting it off there. So anyways, the scrambled eggs, this is what you want to do, right? You put two or three in a bowl, whatever you want to fucking do. All right? And then you take out your fork and you start fucking scrambling them. And what a lot of people do is they scramble them for like fucking, you know, 15, 20 seconds tops. You don't want to do that, dude. You want to scramble them for like 2 minutes. You want to get a bunch of air in there. You want to scramble the shit out of them, right? I learned this from reading an article on James Caan one time. He gave me this tip. So this is from him. So if you think I'm a fucking moron, I'm going from a guy who was in Godfather 1 and 2, all right? And Elf. Three of the greatest fucking movies of all time, as far as I'm concerned. All right? So anyways, you got to get that air in there. You got to have those bubbles going right over the top. You know what I mean? Like a good milkshake. That's what the fuck it should look like. Meanwhile, you got your pan. Your pan is on high. I know you guys, Christ, you're going to cook the shit out of it. No. What you're going to do is the second you pour it in, you're going to be constantly moving that motherfucker, right? You put it in the, right? You got the pan. You got your little fucking whatever you use, right? Your olive oil, whatever the fuck you, I wouldn't put butter in there because you got it on high, right? Whatever you spray in there, your Pam, whatever you use to deplete the ozone layer. You get that thing on high, right? And right as whatever you put in there just starts to seem like it's going to start smoking, you pour that shit in there. And it goes whoosh. And then you move that fucker around like a stir fry. You don't stop moving that thing, right? And when it looks like it's about halfway done, you pull the frying pan off the burner and you finish it that way. Then you take it, you fucking dump it on, and you're done. That's it. Oh, at some point, you put some sea salt in there, too. Whatever, however you want to garnish it. All right? And I'm telling you, they'll be nice and fluffy. All right? Unlike that horse shit that they have down there at Denny's. And IHOP. IHOP doesn't make good scrambled eggs, either. You got to get cheese in them. You got to get cheese. But that's like ordering a steak, and you got to put, like, fucking A1 on it because the guy didn't know how to cook it. You should not have to put cheese in your fucking scrambled eggs if you know what you're doing. All right? And you know what? That's one to grow on. There you go. How was that? Took me fucking 7-8 years of doing this podcast, and I finally told you how to scramble a goddamn egg. Actually, you know something? The cooking it on high part and then taking it off, I learned that from Nia. She taught me that thing. Jesus Christ, we're already fucking halfway through this thing. Let me do some of the reads here for this week. How to scramble an egg. What a fucking asshole. Jesus, that must have been. I mean, you should really be fucking offended. You should be offended right now because I'm not really even apologizing to you. I'm just killing time while I try and find where the fuck I put the advertising. Oh, here we go. Dollar Shave Club, everyone. Stop shaving with an old razor. It's gross. Why are you torturing yourself with a gross old blade week after week? Probably because you don't want to shell out $20 for a pack of new ones. Dollar Shave Club has revolutionized the way men shave. With Dollar Shave Club, you can shave with a fresh blade as often as you want because they deliver a whole sleeve of amazing razors for just a couple of bucks a month. Their razors are so, for a few bucks a month, I should say. Their razors are so good, millions of guys have joined. Even the billion-dollar razor corporations are freaking out, man. But instead of lowering their bloated prices, they're trying to fool you into milking the same blade for an entire month. And that's gross. It really is gross. Isn't that gross, Cleo? They've price gouged us for long enough. Never go back to squeezing weeks and weeks of shaves out of a disgusting rusty blade. Join Dollar Shave Club and use a fresh blade whenever you want. It feels amazing, and it's a third of the price. Join the millions and millions of fans. If you smell, join the millions of others who figured out the smarter way to join. Join Dollar Shave Club now by going to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Hey! dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Oh, Jesus, here we go. But oh, boop, boop, me undies. Me undies. No more sweaty taint. Boo doo doo doo. Me undies. Me undies. What fucking right? I already did. Ah, Jesus. It all just went off the fucking rails. Taint's a hard one. MeUndies, no more sweaty taint. MeUndies, go buy a bucket of paint and dip your balls right into them. They'll be wetter. I'm telling you, my friend, because you're not wearing your MeUndies. You got your balls in the paint. Oh, yeah. It's almost like they are sweaty, except they're purple. Buy some fucking MeUndies. Yeah, okay. We all know how sexy confidence can be. Oh, my God. He just feels like he knows things. And that confidence comes from being comfortable. But how great can you feel if your underwear is wrinkling and riding up? MeUndies gets it, and that's why they've created the world's most comfortable underwear for a daily dose of confidence. When you look good, you feel great. It's a cliche because it's true. MeUndies understands this, and that's why they've designed underwear that makes you feel and look great. Look and feel fantastic. Sorry, please include the... shut up. MeUndies is made from Modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. That's twice as soft as whatever underwear you're wearing right now. MeUndies has tons of colors and styles, and the only place to get matching pairs for men and women and the fucking ladies. They even release a new design every month. I wear whatever free pair that they send me, and I love them. Plus, we all know that paying for shipping sucks. So, MeUndies has removed that from the equation. All orders in the U.S. and Canada ship for free. MeUndies even has got a money-back guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you get to keep it for free. Well, I don't love it. I'm going to throw it out. You literally have nothing to lose. To sweeten the deal, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first orders at MeUndies.com/burr. That's a special offer for just my listeners and everybody else where they advertise. Make sure you go to MeUndies.com/burr to get 20% off your first order and so that they know that we sent you. All right, one more. LegalZoom, everybody. You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated. What other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Relax. Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such a great value. They don't rely on, we don't even know what we're doing. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporations, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trust, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys, there you go. There's where the experts are. Over there in them trees. Can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. If anybody got that joke, you've watched Predator way too many times. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter Burr in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com, promo code Burr. All right. Jesus, that was great. Got those right out of the way. Got them right out of the way. Okay, now where am I going here? Oh, Jesus. I always have like 9 million things opened at the same time here. Why do I do that to myself? Oh, by the way, somebody sent me a link to some fucking music. I only listened to a couple of their songs, but I really liked them. I don't know how to say the name of the band. It's G-O-J-I-R-A. Gojira, Gojira, Gojira. I have no idea. It's the name of the album is From Mars to Sirius. And I usually don't like that music where the people sing like that death metal shit. But these fucking guys, ladies, men and women, I don't know what the fuck they are. They sound like they're a bunch of guys. The album blew me away. The song did anyways. It's called The Heaviest Matter of the Universe. I downloaded the album. It came out in 2006. So I'm a little late to the party there. But I want to thank whoever sent me that, giving me the heads up, because I really enjoyed that song, and I immediately went and downloaded the entire freaking album over there. All right, what are we up to here? 34 minutes. All right, I'm going to do a couple more Cleo, and then I'm going to do the questions, and then we're going to get out of here, all right? That doesn't mean you need to come over here. All right, thank you. Thank you for the kisses. Don't be needy. Get out of here. Go over there and lay down. Go on, get over there. Cleo, please get over there. Thank you. Go on. Lay down. Here you go. You got your own fucking couch. How much more could you be spoiled? You know what it is? Was today I watched like the whole, I watched the Bills game, the Browns and the Bengals game. I was just clicking around with a little bit of the Packers too. And I had the whole house to myself and I was just laying on the couch and she was up on the couch with me laying there like a fucking, baby. So now she wants the whole day like that. You know what I mean? She's a spoiled brat. Hey, did you guys see the latest, that FanDuel thing where they got Tiki Barber and Rondé Barber, two NFL players, talking about it? And I, just pick out your fucking day and pick up your cash. My favorite thing, there was a guy on there where this guy worked on Wall Street. He's crushing it. Pilfering from the greatest generation, right? They're too dumb to know what's going on at this point. They don't know what's going on in their portfolios. Stealing from old people. Stealing from young people. Licensed to steal. The man is on Wall Street. There's nobody watching these cunts. Every once in a while, they throw a celebrity chef in jail to make it look like they're actually paying attention. This guy was on fucking Easy Street. And for some dumb reason, according to this infomercial, he just decides, out of the fucking blue, to quit his job and try to win $1 million on FanDuel. I love that. Like, you just can't try that on the weekend? You got to sit there and stare at fucking stats 7 days of fucking whist for 6 days before you make your picks? So long story short, the guy goes out. He's in the infomercial, so you know he's not going to lose. And you know what? He goes out and he wins. He wins $1 million. And you know what he does? You know what he does? Fuckhead that he is. You know what he does? True romance. He fucking quits his job. I'm supposed to believe that this guy that works on Wall Street quit his fucking six-figure job on Wall Street to make $1 million. And I know some of you fucking, you know, peons on Wall Street are going to be like, ooh, you know, I just started. I only make 30 grand a year. I don't give a fuck about you there, baby face, two whiskers. I don't give a fuck about you. All right, you sociopath, you're going to work your way up. This guy was like my age. And he was almost as bald as I am. All right? So if he's still on Wall Street, he's making money. All right? He's got a fucking, you know, a goddamn ulcer in his stomach. Okay? So I know this guy's making money. So whatever. I don't even know. I don't even know if he fucking works on Wall Street. What the fuck do I know? So anyways, he says that he quit his job. After he made $1 million, he quit his job. He quit his job on Wall Street because he won $1 million on FanDuel, which after taxes is going to be more than 50% tax bracket. So let's say he gets to keep about 480, 85 grand after he's done fucking, you know, paying his accountant and all the other bullshit. You know what I mean? Buying his fucking wife the pink Cadillac or the fur coat. Get it out of here. Get it out. Take it back. Get it. What's the matter with you? Right? Once he's done doing all that, right? He's got like fucking 480 grand. He quits his fucking job, and now he's going to take that 480 grand and reinvest in his new business of gambling on football. This fucking guy is going to be homeless. He's going to be homeless. That's what I'm calling right now. This guy is going to be destitute and fucking. He's going to be one of the guys that Brian Gumbel interviews, or actually one of his peons interviews. You know what I mean? He always sends them out. Brian is not going out in the field anymore. He's too old for that shit, you know? And then you come back. And he does his follow-up where he has his little clipboard of questions. You know, and the person sits down and he comes back and then he just goes like, oh, oh, whatever the fuck he says, you know. His really high-pitched voice when he's got that little like, oh, oh, oh. They're going to interview this fucking guy. He's going to sit there. You know, when Brian interviews somebody and he just thinks that they're the dumbest fuck on the planet, he does not... He wears his emotions not on his sleeve. He wears them right on his fucking face. I never understood that. Why is it your sleeve? Nobody looks at your sleeve when you're talking. I don't get what that means. I've never understood it. Nor did I ever look it up. Considering I got a goddamn laptop right here. Why don't I look it up? Come on, window, move for me. We got two defensemen on the Bruins right now. Last name, Miller. Dude, what fucking Miller you talking about? Well, there's fucking two of them. They're both defensemen, Colin and fucking Kevin. Same names as my cousins. Hey, did anybody watch the Gas Monkey Garage where they did that fucking 78 Olds Cutlass? What a fucking great car. I'm not the biggest fan of lowriders, but those paint jobs are fucking ridiculous. I think they look cool as shit, but I'm just... I like going fast more than just fucking cruising around. But the 78 Olds Cutlass, man, is fucking... Those were the cars, man. When I was a kid, man, from like the late 70s to like 85, the Olds Cutlass, the Chevy Monte Carlo and the Buick Regal. They were basically all the same body type. And I thought that those were the best looking stock cars too, right? Harry Gant, the Skull Bandit, Cale Yarborough, Darrell Waltrip. Right? Back when what's-his-face, Dale Earnhardt, rest his soul, used to drive the Wrangler, the blue and yellow Wrangler. He'd get out there, he get sideways, right? They all had Olds, they had Cutlasses, Monte Carlos. I think Harry Gant had the fucking, I think he had a Grand Prix that had that fucking, the rear window was just straight. Wasn't even trying to be aerodynamic. Just chopped it right down the back. Those things were fucking badass cars, man. Those two-door coupes with that ridiculous fucking interior, that totally cheesy, you know, where it all goes into the button, that plush interior. Those fucking cars were the shit, so they redid one. You know what kills me? The fucking Gas Monkey season is already over. 10 episodes. How the fuck does it go by that quick? That was a brutal season for me, everybody. Brutal season. It went by in fucking 2 seconds, and KC left the show. I don't know. I wish that they had let him do more shit like the... I love when he did the lace top and when he was trying to do the lowrider stuff. He was talking about how when they put so many layers of paint on it that it looks like you can actually... After a while, it creates the illusion you feel like you can actually reach down into it. How fucking killer is that? And just watching how they... I don't know. I have such a fucking respect for that. And they did so many cool projects this year where they try to do something different. They did the old Caddy. They did a lowrider. They got that Ford GT. Such a great fucking season. And I don't know. That show's the best, man. It just went by too fucking fast. Now what am I going to do, right? I had the same level of depression when like a fucking sports season ends. When they're like, tune in next week for the final episode of this season's Gas Monkey Garage. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? They just started. Probably because I binge watched like 5 of them because I was on the road. Whatever. What the fuck am I talking about? Oh, wearing your emotions on your sleeve. Hey guys, I'm getting better at that, huh? I usually go off on a tangent, I never come back. Wearing his... Oh, fuck that. Fuck his or her. Wearing emotions, I'm typing with just my index finger, on sleeve. Definition, meaning, no, origin, that's what I want, the origin of wearing your heart on your sleeve. Oh, that's how you say it, not your emotions. Come on, load please, advertising. Oh, look at that pretty girl with her lotions. Healthy looking skin starts here with Eucerin. Continue our site, that was it, I just had to look at her. Oh, she was nice to look at. The origins of wearing your heart on your sleeve. All right, here we go. It was during the Roman Empire that St. Valentine is said to have left a note to his jailer's daughter. Oh, Jesus, how much was she trying to fucking piss off her dad by fucking one of the inmates, huh? From your Valentine, before his execution on February 14th. Today, thanks to St. Valentine... Cards expressing one's heartfelt emotions, a.k.a. Valentine's, are given to that special someone. To defer to the classic idiom, it's a day to wear your heart on your sleeve. Was there an explanation in there? You started with a story and then you just deferred, which completely fucked me up. We use the phrase casually to mean exposing our true emotions, making ourselves vulnerable and letting it all hang out. The phrase is so pervasive that from Ringo Starr to Eminem to Carrie Underwood, those words have turned into... Dude, are you trying to stretch this out any longer? This could have been one fucking paragraph. Wearing your heart on a sleeve. Oh, here we go. But what kind of sleeve? And why on a sleeve? I swear to God, I'm reading the copy. And not pants or legs and around your neck. There's no clear answer. You fucking asshole. But many, you fucking dick, that's why you were stretching it out. Because if you just wrote, I don't know, I wouldn't have clicked on your site. All right, we got to see it through, people. I'm sorry. There's no clear answer, but many legends attempt to get at the heart of the matter. Now you're going to go into a pun after you tell me, this is such a fucking train wreck, I can't stop. It may explain the source of the saying. The three most popular are, in the Middle Ages... Emperor Claudius II believed unattached men made better soldiers, so he declared marriage illegal. As a concession, He encouraged temporary coupling. Once a year during a Roman festival honoring Juno, men drew names to determine who would be their lady friend for the coming year. Once established, the man would wear a name on his sleeve for the rest of the festival. Jesus Christ, did the woman have any say?
No, she's just a common hooa.
Janet Rossi is a hooa. Around that same time, it's speculated, when a knight performed in a jousting match in the king's court, he dedicated his performance to a woman of the court by tying something of hers like a handkerchief around his arm. He let the court know the match would defend the honor of that woman. Or we can credit Shakespeare, and I'm not reading this Shakespeare. Oh, you want to hear me read Shakespeare? Where may, okay. Iago. It is sure as you are Roderigo, were I the Moor, I would not be Iago. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up, Billy. This is right here why I flunked all this shit. In following him, I follow but my... dude, fuck you. Fuck you. All right, Jesus Christ. Why don't you... Jesus fucking Christ. That, you know how depressing that was? That fucking attempt right there. It's amazing. It's amazing I succeed in anything, isn't it? Oh, by the way, they were doing this 20-year retrospective on the O.J. Simpson trial. It was funny. And they said the exact same shit that they said 20 years ago, how polarizing it was and how white people saw it one way and how black people saw it another way. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be dumb enough to try to speak for black people here. I wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you what, there was plenty of black people on that show speaking for white people. And, you know, I'm not saying they were 100% wrong, but they were never speaking for all the sports fans out there who happen to be white like me. The whole trial, when I was watching that, I was never thinking, oh, that son of a bitch black guy killed that pure blonde white woman. I never thought that shit. The entire trial, I thought the exact same thing. Anytime I would turn it on, I would think the exact same thing. I would be like, that is fucking O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson is sitting behind that table on trial for a double murder. I grew up watching that guy. You know, when he did the Hertz commercials, I was like 5 or 6 years old. And that old lady, go, OJ, go, right? When he would fucking jump over the luggage. I wasn't old enough to know that a black guy starring in a fucking commercial like that was groundbreaking. I didn't. I just knew that that guy was fucking awesome. He had a cool nickname. My first pack of football cards I got, Cleo, for the love of fucking Christ, can you lay down, buddy? All right, get up here. Get up here. There you go. Lay down. See, I give in. I give in because you're so cute. Anyways, back to OJ. my first pack of football cards that I got, he was right on top. Right on fucking top. I think the gum was in the back, so it didn't ruin it. And that was like my prized possession. And I remember I was so young when he got traded to the 49ers. And I got that Topps football card that me and my brothers used to call side year, because everything was on when we used to trade. Like what year? Flag year, side year, football year. Rather than the years. I thought it was going to be worth money because he was on a different team. Like, wow, this is O.J. Simpson on the 49ers. This is going to be worth money because people, you know, I didn't realize that the rookie card. I was young. I was stupid. And then I watched his fucking movies, The Naked Gun. I watched him on Monday Night Football when he was with Joe Namath. And he would be like, you know what I would have done right there? I would have cut back. He used to say what he would do. And then Joe Namath would always say the same thing. That was a really nice play. He used to always say that shit. And it was a terrible year for Monday Night Football, but whatever. I just remember hearing shit that Bob Costas and Al Michaels, you know, weren't in contact with them anymore. It was the first time I really remember watching somebody have it all and then fucking lose it all. And it was always, that's how I always looked at him. O.J. Simpson's 2003 fucking yards in a season, Heisman Trophy winner, star of The Naked Gun 1 and 2, and that fucking movie where he was the astronaut, right? And the thing goes bad, and then they try to kill him. That's who the fuck he was. And there he was just sitting there on trial. I couldn't fucking believe it. So, the next time they do one of those documentaries, they got to have a dope like me in there. Not going like, you know,
in the history of the justice system, black people have always seen the white person get up.
To me, it was O.J. Simpson. All right? For you youngsters out there, just who's your guy? You know what I mean? Is there even a guy like that anymore? I don't know. I can't relate to it anymore because every time I look at an athlete now, it's just somebody half my fucking age living a dream that never happened to me. All right, it's fucking ridiculous. All right, where the fuck are we here? Let me get to some of the reads for the week here, and then I'm going to go work out because I go to the gym every day. I'm maintaining, guys. I put on a few, then I take it off, put on a few, take it off, but I'm still in my fighting fucking weight, which I don't even know what the fuck it is anymore, which is good because I got acting work tomorrow. So maybe I'll look sexy and maybe I'll get some more work out of it. I don't know. Where the fuck is... Oh, did I close the wrong one? Yeah, Jesus. Can this be like a new segment on the fucking podcast where Bill tries to find the fucking window that he opened and everything was fine and he had it all set up and then he fucks it up when he's on live? All right, content. Hey, if you guys want to email the podcast, bill@themmpodcast.com. All right, DraftKings insider explanation. All right, because I didn't get it last week. I didn't understand why it was such a big fucking deal that some people from DraftKings won $300,000 at FanDuel. And they were saying that they had inside information. And so I was like, what are you, friends? Whoa, what do you mean? What are you, friends of the player? So, Bill, not trying to be a cunt here, just explaining why that guy from DraftKings, what he did was considered insider information and made money. Basically, he had access to the percentage of ownership of the players. For example, he knew that 58% of people were starting Brady, 13% were starting Russell Wilson, 80% starting Julio Jones, etc. Obviously, these are not the real percentages. It's just an example. Well, even if they were, I wouldn't be able to figure out the math. So thank you for giving me round numbers. Anyways, he and only others at DraftKings had that information, not anyone else, the general public. That were playing in those games. The numbers are released after the lineups are locked, but he had them beforehand. Okay, so I understand that he had information, but I don't understand what you do with the information because I don't play fantasy football or do this shit. So hopefully you'll break it down a little more. He and the player percentage owned is potentially the biggest factor when picking players. Why is this significant? Dude, please don't ask the questions. Just fucking give me the answers. Why? I don't know. Well, the only way to actually make money and get ahead of other players is if you had different people starting than them, right? If 80% of the people are starting Julio Jones and you have him, you won't get ahead of people. You'll be even with them. Yeah, but if Julio has a bigger day, you're going to be fucked. So what this cunt did was look at the players with the lowest percentage owned that also had the highest potential to have big games. He used this insider information he had at DraftKings to play in big money tournaments at FanDuel. Also, he won big money almost every day playing MLB Fantasy. It's not out of the question to think he could have had information from Shark. His buddies are the highest bidder. Oh, well, that's very interesting. That's really fascinating. That's going to be a great movie, right? That's going to be one of those Facebook movies. You know, some awkward guy is going to play the awkward guy that started it. No cool. Does anybody cool who's fucking, you know, can hold up their end of a conversation ever start anything? It's like a really introverted thing, this computer stuff. It's amazing. They can't talk to people, yet what they make speaks to so many. Wow. Sorry. There must have been a collective. Oh, Jesus, on that one. All right. NFL Pink. Dear Billy Schramm. If a guy like Phil Simms, Jim Nance, or Chris Collins were spoke out about extortion involved in the breast cancer awareness pink campaign, would they lose their job? Of course, if they said it's stupid, they'd just lose their job. But if they articulated the problem with parading survivors on the field at the beginning of the game, like during the New England-Dallas game, while only giving pennies on the dollar to the actual cause, would they come under fire or be praised? Thanks. I think I've answered all of those questions. Look, I mean, the NFL is always going to sell jerseys. So they make some pink ones, and the pink ones they give 8%, evidently, allegedly, to the cancer people, the awareness people, and then they give 8% of that 8%. I don't know how it fucking works. I mean, it's better than nothing. Yeah, I mean, I think the way they presented it, like, a portion of the proceeds, fans, all we hear is like, oh, I buy this jersey and then they give all this money. You know, I get a jersey. It's not the color I wanted, but it's going to help out people that are suffering. So, yeah, it's not the most transparent
advertise. Who gives a fuck, right? They don't give a shit. They didn't give a shit when Ray Rice fucking knocked out his fiance. They only gave him two fucking games. They didn't give a fuck until the video came out. Then they suspended him forever. They didn't give a fuck. Why? It's because Ray Rice fucking was making him a bunch of money. That's like, you know, that, yeah, they call it the Brady rule about not hitting low and hitting the quarterback late. It's not the Brady rule. It's the fucking money rule. They don't give a fuck about Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes some money. If Tom Brady's not playing, they lose money. So they're like, we got to protect that motherfucker. Not because Tom has any sort of influence, although he is pretty dreamy to look at. Lifeguard. Bill, I'm a lifeguard and a strong swimmer. I was at the beach last week and I noticed a body go under. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, dude, that's one of the scariest fucking... That's one of my biggest fears in life. The undertow was bad that day, and I had a bad feeling, so I swam to where I thought someone went under. I pulled up an 11-year-old kid. He had water in his lungs and was struggling. Dude, this better be true, because I... Or you better go into writing, because I'm riveted right now. I didn't need to give full-on CPR, but I did have to administer the proper response to get him to cough out the water. He wasn't small... And he wasn't being stupid. That's just the way the ocean is. The next day, the newspaper tried to interview me. I really didn't want to. Every time someone does something and they're in the paper for it, it feels like a celebration. It's not. Someone could have died. I understand that I may have done something great. Are you doing the aw shucks thing? Is this like a humble brag? I've been told that. I just don't want to celebrate it. The reporter said that I was doing a disservice because I was preventing the story from... being inspiring. Do they need my soundbite? Can't the story be enough? Am I an asshole? No, you're not. You're not an asshole at all. Just fuck you. Do what you do, and then fuck them. Fuck them. Yeah, let them figure out what the fuck happened. I don't think you are. I don't think you're being an asshole at all. You know, if you're telling the truth and you're actually being honest right now, you didn't use your name, so you're not going to get any praise. I think what you did was great. Yeah, I don't need to fucking talk to you. We ain't supposed to talk about how fucking great you are. I saw him go under, and I knew if I didn't get out there, if I didn't do something, nobody would. No, I think you know, especially this day and age when Jesus Christ, sucking a dick gets you a TV show. You actually save somebody from drowning. I mean, probably get a fucking miniseries. Actually, is that better than a TV series? Well, most TV series don't get picked up. I don't know. Actually, you just get a pilot is what you really get. All right, Bill, you done? Yeah, I'm done. All right. My girlfriend wants to sell her panties online. How do you not read this? I don't even give a shit if these are real or not. These are very entertaining. Hey, Billy Beef Farts. I don't know what that means. My situation is exactly what it sounds like. Last week, my girlfriend of 6 years asked me if I think it's okay if she sells her used panties online. Gross. To some of those weirdo fetishes who enjoys that kind of shit. I said, sure, thinking, what's the harm? But what if one of those guys is as a forensic expert? And that's also his fucking, you know, and that's how he kind of, going to all those murder scenes. He started sniffing panties. Now he's afraid he's going to get caught, so he orders them online. And then after a while, the smell isn't enough, so he starts dusting the panties for prints. And next thing you know, he's standing at your door with a fucking meat cleaver and a hard-on. And you answer the door, you know? He's got one hammer for one, he's got the axe for the other. And you show up, that's going through your fucking head, and then he's going in looking for your pantyless girlfriend. I think you're fucking nuts. Anyways, I said, sure, thinking, what's the harm? We're both university students. She needs money, and what's the harm in milking these wackos for her old panties stained in clam juice? Dude, there's no way you love this woman. Here's the problem. She tells me that she needs to have pictures taken in these panties to prove to her potential clients that she did actually wear them. No, she doesn't. They want to smell them so they see her, so they can and fucking rub them out. When she told me this, it wasn't really in a way that was asking for permission. Not that I would expect her to. This is how much the fucking American male has been beaten down, that if they don't let the woman in their life do every fucking thing that she, every fucking fucking idea that comes to her head, if they get in the way of it, they're crushing her dream. How about if you're fucking, you're not even her boyfriend at this point. You're just an entourage member. Just going, hey, where are we going tonight? Oh, that's cool.
Can you be a fellow? Do you love this woman? Don't fucking let her do this. This is a dumb fucking idea. Don't you have dumb ideas? Doesn't she say to you every once in a while, hey, that's a stupid idea? And then afterwards you're like, Jesus Christ, what was I thinking? Thank God you're in my life. This is when you need to step up, not stand down. She just, dude, if she fucking does this, she's basically, she's in the porno industry. Her picture's going to be online on a panty sniffer fucking website. What fucking job do you get after that? And it lives forever. And they'll wait. They'll wait till she's running for office. You know, where she starts her own fucking campaign to stop some fucking disease, right? And then that thing's going to come out. The old Patty panty sniffer fucking photo's going to come out. Anyways, he says, but more of... Anyways, not that I would expect her to. Dude, what if you dabbled into the porn industry? However the fuck you were going to do it with just a picture? Huh? I don't know. It's fucking crazy. Anyways, but more of a... This would be part of the deal kind of way she brought it up to me. Immediately, I tell her that I have a huge problem with this. Well, all right then. All right then. You scared me there earlier. And she should not be doing it. She argues that, and I quote, I like the attention it gets. All right, dude. You know what this is the sound of? Beep, 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 beep. That is the sound of you backing up the dump truck that she's laying in the back of and dumping that bitch in the trash. Dude, this is not the mother of your kids. God bless her. I don't know who the fuck fucked her up. It's over. Out. It's over, dude. It's out. And it's done. I don't even need to read the rest of this. He goes, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? That's what you're supposed to do. Keep my mouth shut and act like a cuckold or fight this thing to the bitter end. I know it's her body and she has the right to do anything with it. Shut the fuck up with that! Jesus Christ, these fucking feminists, you guys have turned into zombies. This isn't like a date rape situation here. She does have the right to do it, but you're stopping her from getting into the porn industry. But it makes me feel like a complete tool. It should. Any input would be appreciated, Bill. I think I told you what you should do, dude. Just, yeah, you know what? This is the deal, okay? Even if she goes, you're going to break up with me? Well, then forget it. I won't do it. I can't live without you. Fuck that. Whatever this is, this is going to rear its ugly fucking head again. I like the attention it gets. She likes that kind of attention, okay? I'm telling you right now, dude. I'm telling you right now, somebody that likes that kind of fucking of attention, it's not the attention that she can get within a fucking one-on-one monogamous relationship, all right? Now, whether she'll ever act on it and go even further, end up on a pole or blowing somebody behind a dumpster down at a Denny's after she ate some bad scrambled eggs, who's to fucking know? All you know is that you're rolling the dice with half of your shit if you ever marry this woman and have kids. You know, and the kids are going to halfway fucking look like her. Oh, dude, I'm just flying down the road with this thing. Dumper, dude. Dumper. That's a deal breaker. I'm sorry. That's a fucking deal breaker. Done. Over. All right. Just be like, listen, we've come to a fork in the road and you want to be a model for a panty sniffing website, which I totally respect. And I would like to be with somebody that I can trust. You know, who doesn't need the attention of some of the fucking weirdest people on the internet. Okay? Good luck and thank you for playing. Now, have you guys ever listened to the All Things Comedy podcast that I do live with Al Madrigal? Have you ever listened to those? Al Madrigal, okay, is a very busy man, so he might not have time to give you breakup advice. Al Madrigal has the greatest way how you break up with a woman that you, if you're not living with this woman, the greatest way ever. And I'm giving him full credit here. And he's already told the story on a podcast, so I don't feel like I'm overstepping my bounds here. This is the greatest way ever. This is what he would do. When he knew that he was going to break up with a woman and women can do this too. He would, and the woman was not living with him. He would gather up all of her shit that was in the apartment and he would put it in a box. He'd call her up, said, I need to come over there and talk to you. He'd come over with the box, tell her it was over, and then he would fucking leave. And then there was nothing else. There was no reason for her to come back. And that was it. That's what you need to do with her. You need to pack up all her panties that she's going to be selling and modeling soon so she can become a fucking jerk-off model. Okay? And she's free to do that because it's her body. Snap 12 to 6. Right? Is that what they do? It's her fucking body. It's her right. She's an independent woman. Beyonce. The whole fucking thing. Feminism. Yeah. I'm doing this shit. Have fun, sweetheart. Right? She's going to go become a jerk-off model. And if you stay with her, you will become a jerk-off. And you don't want to do that because eventually it's going to breed resentment. And, you know, dude, like, it's going to be over. You can't marry her. You can't fucking marry her. It's done. It's fucking over. It's going to get out. Then your neighbor's going to find out. Then your neighbors are going to be jerking off to her. And then you're going to get a nickname. You know? It's fucking over. God help you if your name starts with P. All right? Peter, Paul, any of that shit that's the alliteration with panty. I don't know what the fuck it's going to be, but it's going to be a fucking nightmare. Jerk off Jerry. I don't know what the fuck it's going to be, but dude, you need to get out. Beep, beep, beep. Dump that bitch in the fucking trash. Over. Over. And so is this podcast. All right, go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you on Thursday.